B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
That light's broken.
Oh, the light's broken?
But you're there.
I'm there.
You're still there. Even though the light is not on, you are home, Mark.
I'm pretty sure that's the way it was designed. The light doesn't work, but the mic does, right? That's how it all works.
I'm not going to tease you about that, but we are talking teasing today. This is so cool, this story you're telling me about.
It's funny. I was reading this the other day with a few other people, and it's couples who roast each other. Mm-hmm. So couples who just like incessantly make fun of each other are actually doing it right. They're lasting longer and they're happier. When I saw this, I was so happy. So one of my wife's New Year's resolutions, one of her resolutions was to take my jokes better. I make fun of her all the time. I roast her all the time on stuff, you know, whatever. And it used to drive her crazy. And she's like, you know, it's driving me crazy, but I'm going to take your jokes. I'm going to laugh at your jokes and everything. So she's done a great job. She's been doing it and it's like really working. Like she's literally laughing at it. I'm like, why didn't you do this before? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know. I felt like, you know, I was being attacked and da 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 da, but I was taking myself too seriously. And I joke about everything. Like we, there's the phone again. I love this phone. Hello.
Hi, Jenny. I'm so sorry. I'm right in the middle of a podcast. Can I call you back?
Be funny if he said no.
20 minutes?
Nope. Can't. You got to talk right now.
Okay, thanks.
I do that to people all the time.
Thank you. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
I was saying
that's what it was. Okay.
Isn't it funny?
You're saying, who calls?
Isn't it so funny, though? Like, if you were like, hey, I'm doing something. Can I call you back? And they were like, nope. Anyway, here's what we're talking about.
I think she was about to tell me her pitch for a story,
that's
even
so
when
funny.
I said that. And I was like, okay.
But bye. So I'll joke about my wife. And like, whether it's something she's wearing or like, my wife has big hands. Like, they're bigger than mine. So I was like, you have these man hands, you know? So it's just.
I have a friend like this. She has big hands. Yeah. And her husband makes fun of her.
But my wife would go crazy. She'd just be like, oh my God, that's terrible. And don't do that in front of the kids, you know, whatever. Then this thing comes out and she's like, oh, I am going to like. And so she's doing a great job. But it's funny because we're actually like, I'm actually having fun watching her laugh at it. And now she's roasting me back and I love it. So it is science now. I remember the college I did. It was Appalachian State University. Mm-hmm. If you want to look it up, they did the study that couples who roast each other are happier, they last longer. There's something there to that.
Okay, well, I think it's true, and I think it's even true in on-air relationships, because I think I'm going to sound crazy saying this, but as a woman, I like to be teased.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than someone teasing at you if you have trust with that person.
Yeah.
Now, I've worked on air with people before where maybe they've poked fun and I don't have a trusting relationship with them and it's rubbed me the wrong way. But if we're friends and you rip on me about something, I love it.
I'm remembering like part of this study too. It talked about if you're roasting somebody, if you're teasing somebody, whatever, then like then you know a lot about them. You've noticed things about them. You've spent time customizing this content or jokes about them, the humor, whatever. So it actually shows that like you're in tune, you're paying attention, like you're intellectually pointed towards that person, which is a good thing, right? Because it's all about like where your attention goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing. I think it's kind of funny. And by the way, like my kids love it.
Right.
They love, like when I make fun of Melissa, they love it. When she makes fun of me, they love it.
Because you're not taking life too seriously.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Not putting each other on a pedestal that you're so perfect and they're going to walk out in the world and go, my family's perfect. We have no flaws.
Right.
They're more realistic about things.
Yeah. Like Melissa will hand me something and I'll be like, damn, those hands, huge. Those hands are freaking huge, man. They could kill me. You know, like things like that. And she used to be like, stop talking about my hands. I don't care. I can't do anything about it. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And so now it's like, you just got to have fun with it. But so find something about your significant other and roast them incessantly about it.
I like that.
But have fun with it. Yeah.
I like that. So I'm super sensitive. Which is weird because I just told you I like it when people make fun of me, but I'm also super sensitive. So it is that very select group that can do so. And Doug doesn't, there are things about me that he probably is intuitive enough to know, hey, she doesn't like this about herself. She doesn't like that. But he would never get on me about that. But he is more of a less roasting me. He will call me out and just make me laugh about silly stuff, but he'll do a lot of pranks.
Right.
And it's funny because when you first start dating, you love the brand of humor that your significant other is bringing. Sometimes when you've been with them for a long time, you're like, okay.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. And then you have to, like, he's so quirky and sarcastic and a prankster. And I sometimes have to explain his humor to other people or other people are laughing at it. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen this act our entire couplehood. And
so he likes having an audience.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. He does. Yeah. He loves pulling pranks on people. He loves. Yeah. He totally.
What's the one thing that you would be petrified of him, you know?
Picking on it. I know. Okay, that's what I was just starting to. You read my mind.
Like, is it?
Well, I hate my skin. You know, I've got so many. Well,
hold on a second. Yes. You can't hate your skin. You know what your largest
it's
organ?
My largest organ.
Organ it is. Yeah, it's a living, breathing organ. Your skin. What do you hate about it?
I have so many freckles from sun abuse. So my arms and legs. You know, I do some IPL on my face, so I don't have freckles on my face. But my arms and legs, I have so many freckles, and
but
I hate it.
We all do, don't we? Like, I've got little blemishes and stuff. Yeah.
Trust me, my legs are the worst. So if he ever was like, you know, oh my gosh, my daughter, for instance, she says, I think I told you this. She says, "Aki," if something's gross, like if it's a piece of trash.
Right.
So she when I wear shorts, she'll look at my legs and pick at the freckles on them and go, Aki.
And that bothers you?
I mean, I think it's funny at this point, but right. I don't want her to go, oh, I have an old mom with old looking legs or whatever. So Doug's never really said anything about that. Maybe if he did say something, maybe I probably would just laugh about it.
All right. What's something that you clown on him for? Or do you not? And if you don't, you should start.
You know, anytime I'm a real wordy person, grammar person. So sometimes you hear some, I can't think of a particular word right now, but if you hear someone use a big word, but they're using it in the wrong way. This is a poor example, but if someone says supposedly is not a word.
Yeah.
And so but if he uses a word and it's like a big word, but it's not exactly in that sense, a big, no.
Oh, God, now that you say that, it drives me crazy. I know people that say Chipotle.
Right.
And like, Chipotle?
Right, no.
I'm like, what? Mountainside cabin.
Is it Chipotle? I don't even say it.
Chipotle.
Okay.
Not
is it Chipotle? I don't say it. I definitely don't say Chipotle, but.
Yeah, but I've heard
people.
Where was it the other day? I was at like a Publix or something, and some guy was talking to his wife, and he was like, "Did you get the Chipotle sauce?" And I'm like, "Chipotle sauce?" I was like, "Dude, like, what field of goats raised you? Chipotle sauce?" Yeah, but I'm like that too. Like, but I see, for me, like, when I hear, here's the thing, when I hear strangers say stuff like that, mm-hmm. I just get embarrassed for America. But when my wife says it, I'm like, yes. So happy it's gold. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, now I can just hammer her for this, like, for the next, like, 3 hours.
Yes.
Like, I'll just bring up Chipotle, you know, over and over and over and over. And it used to drive her crazy. Now she just says, like, but I'm like that too. I hear somebody say something and I'm like, but this happened the other day. Did you get the Chipotle sauce? I'm like, oh my God, the Chipotle sauce, really?
Jeez. I say something really stupid. I will say instead of brass tacks, I say brass tactics. We got to get down to brass tactics. And so if Doug actually
that would confuse me. I'd be like, that actually sounds like intellectually.
Does it sound better?
Like, no, yeah, like I don't know like what you're talking about. Like, oh no.
Doug will say that to me. He's like, you know, if he actually uses the word, which we don't use that phrase often, we say brass tacks, or as you like to get down to brass tactics. So that's, you know, stuff like that we pick on each other for.
That's a whole nother podcast, by the way, is things people say, but they use it wrong. Like, you know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't know that I have any other ones on the top of my head right now, but people will say stuff and
we'll have
go,
to make a list.
You're actually using that word wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the word.
No.
Like, incorrect.
No, I know. And I'm a grammar queen, so sometimes I get tripped up on that kind of stuff when I hear it. And so Doug was making fun of my mom the other day, and she didn't even know. He sometimes makes fun of people and they don't know that they're being made fun of. And so my mom was talking about cruises. And so Doug, my mom, my sister went on a 10-day cruise. Now it was back in 2009 we went all over Europe. So she's like, "Doug, you haven't been on a cruise before, have you?" And he's like, "Oh no, I never have." And so he starts going, "Well, tell me about these cruises." And she's like, "Oh, it's great. You do this." And and I go, "Mom, he's making fun of you right now. We went on a cruise together." And she's like, "Oh my gosh." And it doesn't speak to my mom's forgetfulness. It speaks to the fact that she's been on 9 million cruises.
Right.
So it's all a big blur. But he likes to do stuff like that. He likes to bait people and get them to, and in his mind, he's being entertained.
Well, yeah. And he's kind of doing a service,
so
like, for your mom, because she's probably enjoys telling these stories.
No, you're totally right. There is some altruistic motivations there.
Right.
Yes.
And then you're uncomfortable because you know what's going on here.
Right.
You know, he's making you uncomfortable. I kind of like his style though. Like, Because at that point, he is the ultimate puppet master.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's got her telling these great stories, which she loves.
And he's going, oh,
and
really?
And he knows you're feeling super uncomfortable. So he is the puppet master in that regards. And I like that.
You figured that out. Yeah. That is exactly what he's enjoying about that. So let me take it in this direction, because I've thought about this dilemma before. Making fun of each other as couples is good. What about making fun of your kids?
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I have to make a list, I mean, outside of that, like, what else are they good for? I mean, you have to. No, I do it all the time. They make fun of me. Uh-huh. It's fun. But I think it is the environment that you insulate, like, right? So if you create that environment, it's good. I mean, I know I have friends who are parents that would never allow their kids to make fun of them. Now, but here's the other thing. It can't be like gross or, you know, like super silly. Like mm-hmm. I kind of like it when they say things that are, for instance, sometimes on a weekend, like if I'm taking a nap, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to catch up on sleep and I'll get out. And then like the kids will be like, gosh, all you do is like, do you even have a job? Like, you know, because like during the day they're at school and then I go to bed really early.
Right.
So like sometimes in their mind, like all they think I do is sleep. Because you know what I mean? There are weeks where it's like, I don't see him a lot.
Right.
Not as much as I want to and hang out and do stuff. Because
you're like the dad. Oh,
working from home, tired, whatever.
9 hours of sleep.
So it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, I'll walk out, like, I'll take like an hour nap and they'll be like, God, do you even have a job? Like, all you do is sleep. And like, so I actually think that's funny. You know what I mean? Like,
you're teaching them to dish it out and to take it.
I think it's cool. And plus, we have girls and boys. So everyone needs to be tough.
Yes.
Everybody.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. One more quick question for you and get your opinion on this before we go to our special guest who we have. And my daughter, I'm not kidding you, when she was born, she came out of my stomach. We locked eyes. The first thing is, she's beautiful. I love her. The second thought is, where did those feet come from? And Doug and I look at all of each other. I look at all his relatives. He look at all my relatives' feet. We're trying to figure out where these feet came from. She has the biggest big toes I've ever seen.
Wow.
To the point, if we ever take photos of her, he'll send me a picture of her and I'll blow it up and focus on her toes. I'm like, we're going to have to get these toes surgically fixed.
No.
So do we start making fun of her toes at what age?
Oh,
we do now. She doesn't really know.
Right now. Yeah, right now. Because here's the thing. If you do that now, like, she'll always think it's funny.
Right.
But if it's almost like if you start too late, she'll be like, well, where did this come? You know what I'm saying?
See.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why, like, the relationship thing with, you know, roasting your couple and stuff, or roasting, you know, your significant other, it's like almost the kind of thing where it might be too late for the relationship you're in. Like, you might have to go get another one. Because, you know, some people might be like, oh, I don't like this. Like, but it is, I can see how couples that make fun of each other are happier, last longer. You know what I mean? And just the vibe of it is, because you always hear the same thing. Couples also have to be best friends, or best friends first, or however you want to word it. And what do you and your best friends do? You sort of you kind of clown
on each other,
right? It's that whole, like, you have drinks, you make fun of each other, you have fun. But some married couples, or just, you know, people who are in serious relationships, it's like, no, my part is this, your part is that, and those, there can never be any middle ground, so.
And people are too sensitive to cross those
boundaries. Right. Like, it just doesn't meet the mold of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I think it's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear next from Don Miggs and John Lutzy. And Don Miggs and John got together. They collaborated on this book, Dads Know Best. You know best, Mark. And so they've got some great advice.
I don't know.
They've gone around and talked to all their friends and relatives and put this stuff together. So it's pretty cool. Don Miggs and John Lutzy, thank you so much for chatting with us today. And Don, I've known you, been interviewing you for years about your music, your band Miggs. So introduce us to John and tell us about John, who's a guitarist in the band, and how you two came up with the idea to collaborate on your book, Dads Know Best.
Well, thanks for having us on. So John, I've been friends with John for a long time now, and against our better wishes, and all my advice, I told him, do not have a child, whatever you do. He decided he was going to do it anyway. I said it was just the hardest thing next to the most rewarding thing. he would ever do. And so he and his wife get pregnant, and before he's having
the child.
Just your wife. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So just, before they had the child, Meek started sort of, we've been on an extended hiatus. And as that was going on, John was like, what the heck am I going to do? He started this other band, and he's like, what are we going to do? Because we like to work together. And he asked me for a little bit of parenting advice because I'm kind of a know-it-all. And I know really nothing. And so I gave him this advice, and he had gotten it from a bunch of friends and said, man, this would make a fun book. And I said, yeah, what if we got, like, some famous friends, some not famous friends, and we just did a book of quotes. And so we did this little book, and when we put it out, Mascot, our publisher now, saw it and had interest in us making a formal sort of coffee table book. And so John and I became writers for the first time of an actual book. And so that's
and I became
Dad's
a reader
for the first time. That's a good point. And that's where Dad's No Best started from. And from there, now it's the No Best book series. And this is the first one coming out in February. And from there, we'll have several others like Women Know Best, Dogs Know Best, Kids Know Best, you know, whatever it is. It's like Chicken Soup for the Soul meets Four Dummies.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And of course, as musicians, you write. So this is right in your wheelhouse. And as dads, of course, one of the promises you make, I love it. You say you're going to teach people, dads, how to be there for their baby's mama and take care of your mm-hmm. child without losing your mind. And as a new mom, it was all about me. I'm having emotional ups and downs. I'm exhausted from breastfeeding. I'm tired of being judged because I don't breastfeed. And you dads are having your minds blown too. So that's kind of the crux of it, right?
That was one of the original reasons that we did the book. Is I had a bunch of books. Now, 2 years later, after I've gone through all of it, I can say that none of the books that I had really would have prepared me for what was about to happen, right? And so much of that is being there for the mom. Mm-hmm. And you don't read about all the crazy stuff that she goes through and everything that you're going to, you know, actually go through and how you're going to have to be there for her. So that was the big part of the book, was getting dad's information that wasn't sugar-coated, that was really going to be like, hey, you know, yes, this should scare you a little bit, but here's how you can get through it.
So, and the other side of that is that what people don't really publicize so much is things like postpartum and how real that is for women. And, you know, when you've already sort of shaken up your life with a child, and then your partner, who is typically, you know, women are way stronger than men, and now she's trying to just find herself back to normal. It's a real sort of, it grows you up in ways you didn't even realize that you needed to grow up, you know. So we do it with a lot of fun, and we do it without being, we're not professionals. We're professional parents, just like you and just like a lot of other people. But it'd be nice if someone were telling us, oh my God, the worst thing about having a child is this. And it, you know, and in our book, that's sort of what you get. You get everything's about the opposite. So it's the very best thing. What I always say is the best time of day is when my kid wakes up, and the second best time of day is when they go to bed, right? So it's just that,
it's
whole,
truth.
That whole thing.
Absolutely. And so I have to ask you too, what is it that's special about this book? Because you keep it real, like you said, but you really get a lot of advice from a lot of people who you trust.
This book, like Don had said, there was two different versions. And the first version was it was me being terrified that I was going to be a father. So I had emailed Don and dads that I knew and asked for that real advice. And it turned into a bunch of really, really cool people giving me basically advice on being a dad. Mick Fleetwood and Tom Higginson from the Plain White Tees, Wade Boggs. So we took some of those quotes and Don's, you know, years of experience as a parent and all the crazy things that happened to me over the last couple of years and put those into this book. So a lot of the advice and stories and things you'll read in this are all based off of hundreds of dads that were emailing us, giving us their one piece of, you know, their best advice on getting through fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that people don't tell you about fatherhood, parenthood, is really how terrifying it is. And I say that in sort of, well, you know, I feel like I used to be a lot more creative in my vocation, and now my creativity goes to dreaming up terrifying situations of things that could happen to my daughter. And it's sort of a preemptive sort of thing of how you keep your baby alive. You know, you worry about all this stuff. And yep. So have you as dads been able to overcome that?
Well, that's the trick, right? So it's white knuckling it from the minute they wake up until they go to bed. And then it only gets worse. You know? Like, then they go to school and now someone else is looking at your kid. And then, you know, we live in a world where there are shootings and there are diseases and their kids fall off of things and all of that. What's really kind of wonderful, if you take a minute to sit back and think about it, is that you're still here and you grew up and your parents weren't nearly as helicoptering as you are. And that's the reality of our generation. We treat our kids differently than our parents treated us and their parents treated them. I mean, remember, my mom used to throw me out of the house after school, and I wasn't allowed back home until the lights came on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just the way the world worked. And yes, was it a safer world? I'm sure it was, but it was a safer world when our parents were alive, and it was a safe, you know, every generation says the last generation was better. So when you think of all that, you just sort of, you have to come to terms with that, the fact that as fragile as kids are, they're not going to break because you didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
And so our job as parents is to raise kids that leave us. It's not for them to stay with us. Our job is to make them outlive us. So at every step of the way, you're trying to figure out, if I die tomorrow, how will my kid be?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't prepare your kid for that eventuality,
right,
then that's where that's even scarier than trying to protect them from the little world they're in now, because the world gets much bigger when mommy and daddy aren't there.
So that was our chat with Don Miggs and John Luzzi about their new book, Dads Know Best. Thanks for listening to our PG Parental Guidance Needed podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.